This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. It's Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be with you on this first Tuesday of January 2026. I want to speak to you this morning about the source of spiritual power for 2026. I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 to 10, and this is what it says. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly would I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The source of spiritual power for 2026. And I want to say to you, the words that come to mind come here out of 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, we are supposed to be Christians that are powerful to live out the Christian life in 2026. Powerful Christians. Number one, it is God's plan, purpose, and provision for every one of his children that the power of Christ should rest upon them. It is therefore God's plan, purpose, and provision that the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ should rest upon you. Notice the significance of the little pronoun me, which comes at the end of the nine-word statement. If Paul said me, I can say me also, for there are a number of scriptures which assure me that it is God's will for me, his child, to be a powerful or a power-filled Christian. We need to understand that very clear. We are to be power-filled Christians. And if we turn again to the Word of God, and we read here from Ephesians, and this is what it tells us when we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? You got that one? His mighty power. And then we turn again to Colossians. Colossians 1 and verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering and with joy. And you see, I want to say this to you this morning. It is sadly evident that many Christians do not know the power of Christ resting upon them. How weak some of God's children are, how powerless and ineffective they are. They are overcome by the world without. They are gripped by the devil who rages around them. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, it says, for the devil is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now listen to me very carefully. The devil is a defeated foe. Jesus defeated the devil at Calvary's cross, but he's going around like a roaring lion. He's got no teeth. It's been removed since Calvary, but he's making a noise. All he's doing is making a noise. Three, It is surely true that those Christians who are weak and ineffective in their life and witness long to be powerful, effective Christians for the glory of God. You see, we want to be effective. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's power is the power that will help us. What then is the Spirit of spiritual power, the source of the spiritual power, or having the power of Christ resting upon us? How can you have the power of Christ resting on you? Number one, you must know the power of the gospel of Christ to save you. You got that? You must know the power of the gospel of Christ to save you. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. We learn that the way to become a Christian is to believe the gospel. You've got to believe the good news about Jesus. Jesus died for you. That God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. When we believe the good news of God and put our trust in the Savior, then we become Christian. And the power of God begins to operate in our lives. For by the mighty power we are saved from the guilt and the penalty of our sin. And we are brought into the position where we can immediately know deliverance from the power of sin and enjoy all the blessing God has offered to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say this? Listen to what these words say. In John chapter 5, verse 24, most surely I say to you, who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed, what? Has passed from death to life. You got that? He's passed from death to life. We turn again to Romans chapter 6, and this is what Romans chapter 6 tells us very, very clearly. Romans 6 and verse 14 says this to us, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. So there we are told something very powerful about the working of God in our lives, the gospel of Jesus Christ. To believe the gospel is to believe the glorious message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it is not only to believe in the facts declared in John 3:16, but it is to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the facts speak. It is to say, I believe that God sent Jesus, his Son, to be my Savior, and I believe that by putting my trust in him, I shall be saved. Therefore, I do not put my trust in him. I'm trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. I believe that by putting my trust in him, I shall be saved. Therefore, I do put my trust in him. Number two, you must know the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse you. What do we read here from 1 John? 1 John, we read these wonderful words. 1 John chapter 1. And this is what it says to us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. And it says this, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You got that? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Have you got that? You see, we learn that by walking in the light, we have fellowship with God the Father, with God the Son, with God the Holy Spirit, and also with the people of God through the Calvary, the work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Jesus cleansed us, and we are kept cleansed from the moment that we've come to Christ from sin. What is the cleansing? It is a cleansing which is certainly need in twofold. First, we are cleansed from the guilt of sin, and then the complete justification of the sinner. And then we read in John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "My little children, these things I write to you, that if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation." He's the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. So we need to be very clear as we understand the work of the cross. You see, we be cleansed from the guilt of sin. That's complete justification. I have been justified because I've come to Christ and God's declared me just as if I had never sinned. Therefore now, there's no condemnation to those in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 verse 1, there's no condemnation. It's been removed because God sees you through the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But more than this is the second, the cleansing from the pollution of sin. That's a progressive work that takes place. One day when Jesus comes again, we'll be removed from it. But in the meantime, we know that we have been forgiven. Our past, our present, our future sin has been taken care of through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the blood of Christ, through the sacrifice of the finished work on the cross. John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished, it's finished. I've paid the price for every sin. No man will ever have to die for his sin. I've paid the price for his sin, past, present, and future." Isn't that wonderful to know that this morning, that the source of spiritual power for 2026 lies in Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, lies in the fact that in the finished work of the cross, we know our sins have been dealt with, forgiven, once for all, forgiven. Number three, you must know the power of the word of Christ to enrich your life. That's what it says in Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We learn that. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. What does it mean? It means that we are to read our Bibles. We are to meditate in the truth. We are to read. We are to study the word of God regularly, devotionally, systematically. We need to study the word. 2 Timothy 15 says, "Show yourself to be approved unto God, a person rightly dividing the word of truth." You rightly dividing the word of truth. What does Hebrews tell us? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." That's the Bible. The Bible. We read the Bible. And we know that that's the written word. We have the living word, who is the Lord Jesus himself. But we need to study the word. And I really believe that we need to study. But we need to study carefully. We need to study consistently. We need to study in context the word of God. The old is fulfilled in the new. The new interprets the old. So you got that? The old is fulfilled in the new interprets the old. And when you come to John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus ushers in the new covenant. "It is finished. I've paid the price." The new covenant has been ushered in by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I tell people, when you start to study systematically, read the Bible, don't start in Genesis, because you'll get to Chronicles and you'll get all bogged down in it. No, start in John's Gospel. And when you finish John's Gospel, John's Gospel, go on to Luke and to Matthew and to Mark. Study them systematically. Study the Gospel. The Gospel is the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Not what we have done for him. What he has done for us. So study it carefully. And it was Dr. R.A. Torrey who used to say, "The word of God is the food of the mighty." If you want to become a powerful Christian, you must dig deep into God's word, feed upon the word, meditate upon the word. You'll be enriched, because you know why? As you study the word, you'll get to know more and more about Jesus. Jesus, the living word, you'll get to know more about Jesus. Number four, you must know the power of the grace of Christ to keep you. The grace of Christ to keep you. From 2 Corinthians 12 that we have read this morning, we read here again from verses 7 to 10, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong." What powerful words. We learn about the grace which God always gives to his people. When he calls them, we're going through things in our lives. He says the grace of God, when you pass through the times, when you pass through trials, when you pass through testings, he gives his grace in order that we might be sustained by his grace. And because of that, we might bring glory to his name. In the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the trial, do you know the grace of God that sustains you, the grace of God to keep you? The Apostle Paul had a great trial, a thorn in the flesh. It was a messenger of Satan, yet he could actually say that he took pleasure in his infirmities. He gloried in his weaknesses. How was this possible? It was possible because the risen Lord Jesus had said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." He says the same to you and to me, no matter what you're going through this morning, what you're going to go through maybe this year. He says to us, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace will keep you." Because it says in Jude chapter 24, "Now unto him who is able to keep you faultless, keep you from falling, and present you before the Father's presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be dominion and power both now and forevermore." Now unto him who is able to keep you. He keeps you from falling. He keeps you from falling. That's the keeping grace of God. There's the saving grace of God. There's the keeping grace of God that will keep us every moment of our lives. And then number 5, I want to say to you this morning, you must know the power of the Spirit of Christ to fill you. The power of the Spirit of Christ to fill you. From Luke 24, verse 49, it says, "You shall be endued with power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you." You'll be endued. Tarry here, wait till you are imbued with power from on high. Acts 1, verse 18, "You shall be my witnesses in all the world, to Samaria, to Jerusalem, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I am with you always to the end of the age." He's saying that you'll receive power. You'll receive power. We learn the Holy Spirit's power, which is offered to and is available and necessary for every Christian, that Christian to be a powerful Christian. Before he began his public ministry, the Lord Jesus knew this empowering of the Holy Spirit in his life. The Holy Spirit came upon him at baptism. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. He knew the power of the Spirit upon him when he was being glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Father said from a cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Listen to Jesus and Jesus only. He was empowered with the Holy Spirit. Before the apostles began their work in the name of the Lord, they were to tarry in Jerusalem. They were to be imbued with power. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them. The same is true today. To be a powerful Christian, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. There's no need to tarry. The day of Pentecost has long come and passed. The Holy Spirit indwells now every believer. You got that? The Holy Spirit indwells every believer's life. When we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14, we read this in verse 16 and 17. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he will dwell with you, and he will be in you." Where will he be? He will be in you. That's what it tells us very clearly. The Holy Spirit will be in us. And we have to do is just know that he says in Ephesians 5:18, do not become drunk with wine which leads to debauchery, but ever go on. There is the command. Ever go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will infill your life every day of your life. And the Holy Spirit's power today is not sufficient for tomorrow. Every day we need fresh oil from the presence of the Lord. These then are a few of the keys of a powerful Christian life. You must know the power of the gospel of Christ to save you. Do you know it? The power of the gospel of Christ to save you. You need to know the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse you. Do you know that the precious blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary has cleansed you, past, present, and future, all your sin? You need the power of the word of Christ to enrich you. You need to know the word of God so you can stand on the promises of God's word and you can quote the promises to God and say, Lord, these are your promises to me. You can stand on the word of God. Every day, you know the word of Christ to enrich you and the power of the grace of Christ to keep you, the keeping grace of God, the power of the Spirit of Christ to fill you. Then, and only then, you will be happy, joyful, useful, radiant Christian. In other words, a powerful Christian. God wants us to be powerful Christians, filled with His Spirit, filled with His love, filled with His peace, filled with His joy. You will be a powerful, not because of any power in or of yourself, but because of His power in you. It's His power, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. His power in you, working in you and through you mightily, the power of Christ resting upon you. Think upon this. His power is unlimited. And you shall be my disciples. And you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yes, all power, he says, has been given to me, I give to you. He has promised to be with us. He's promised to be in you. But do not leave the matter there. For if his power is unlimited, his power in you is unlimited, unless you limit his power in you. You limit the power in you. But as Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, gives me the power and the ability, Christ in me. What does Colossians say to us again? Let's go back to that book. It's a wonderful book to study, the book of Colossians. Colossians 1 and verse 29, this is what it says. To this end I labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. His works in me mightily. Verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have Christ in you, the hope of glory, living on the inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we make ourselves available to God in 2026, God's going to use us. God's going to fill us every day. God's going to equip us. And God, we're going to see things begin to happen. Lives are going to be touched. People's lives change forever as you encounter people and as you touch them with the love of Jesus. Remember, what I give to Christ, he cleanses. What he cleanses, he fills. And what he fills, he uses. Pray the prayer this morning with me and say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, make me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me as I face 2026. I know I'm going to get through it. Because your keeping grace will keep me and your Holy Spirit will sustain me. I pray that God will bless you, God would help you, God would lead you, and God would guide you. May 2026 be a wonderful, blessed year of the favor of God upon your life. I pray it in Jesus' name, and I thank you this morning. Thank you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.